Our Father, we do thank you for this day that has been set aside to give thanks. We thank you, as we've heard already, mostly for what you've done for us through Jesus Christ, saving us and giving us reason and hope and joy and truly thankful hearts for all the good and perfect gifts that come down to us from you. We ask that you be with us today, with our families and friends and loved ones, and thank you and trust and know that you are. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Most of you here already know, you've heard me either in conversation or possibly in another sermon illustration, you know that I'm a skateboarder. In the back of my car right now, there is a skateboard and a pair of skate shoes that I keep with me at all times, just in case there might be a skate park that I'm driving by or some perfect skate spot that I need to jump out of the car and skate right then. However, the last time that I've actually ridden on that skateboard, it's been over a year. Went to the skate park over there in Goodyear, skated for half an hour or so. And so I have to start asking myself at some point, even with that skateboard in the car and the skate shoes in the car, am I still a skateboarder? Some of you might also know that I am a basketball player. In my office, there is a little black basketball that's meant for outside. We have our hoop right over here. And I bought it so that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, when the coffee's not working and I've still got work to do, that maybe I can just go out there and shoot a few hoops and wake up a little bit and have some more energy for the rest of the afternoon. I've done that about 2 times since I bought that basketball in the 6 years that I've worked here. Last time I played with a group of people was with our former rector, Father Chris Schutte, his son, Owen Schutte, and the Irish boys, Devin and Kyle Irish. That was about 4 years ago. So I definitely have to start asking myself, am I still a basketball player? What you probably don't know, because I don't talk about it very often, is that I'm also a soccer player. The last time that I played soccer with anybody, or really even kicked the ball, was in 2004, with almost 18 years ago. So I'm really not sure if I'm still a soccer player. When we come to this passage in James today, we often have two types of responses to it. Some people tend to lean more in one direction than the other most of the time, and vice versa. And this is what James, he's exhorting us. It's very clear, very obvious. James is clear and obvious. Be doers of the word and not just hearers. And so these two thoughts that come to us sometimes when we come to this passage, some of us at times can come to it and say, that's right, James. Would you tell them? Somebody finally needs to say it. We need to be in James more often. They need to get out of the pew, stop just listening and hearing, and go do something. Come on. Go, James. All of us are there at some point as Christians. But then also all of us at some point, even those that tend to be strongly on that side, come to the point in James where we start to think to ourselves, wait a second. When's the last time that I did the word? When's the last time that I did some of these things that James prescribes? Wait a second, have I done enough? What if it's been too long? What if, just like I'm maybe not a soccer player anymore, what if I'm not a Christian anymore? And that's a scary thought. Before we think a little bit more about that, let's look at what James says it means to be a doer of the word and a hearer of the word. In other words, to be a Christian. The first thing he tells us in this passage, and by the way, this passage is a, he tells us in brief what it means to be a doer and not just a hearer of the word. And the rest of James, he really just expounds on that. And so we get it right here, this summary. The first thing is, people that are hearers and doers of the word know that every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation and shadow due to change. Because we know where every good and perfect gift comes from, we give thanks as well. We are people who know and give thanks for these good and perfect gifts that come from our Heavenly Father. Another aspect that James tells us of that makes you a doer and not just a hearer is that you are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And then finally, he tells us that we are to love God and to love our neighbor. How does he say that? He says it by saying, keeping oneself unstained, spotless, pure from the world. That is loving God and caring for the fatherless, for the orphans, for the widows. In other words, those who are in need, That's loving our neighbor. And those of us that have been walking with Christ, have been in the church for any amount of time, we know these things and we agree and we say amen. Yes, every good and perfect gift is from God. Yes, I want to be a person who is quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. And I want to love God with all my heart. And I want to love my neighbors and care for the needy. We want those things. Yet every single one of us at some point in our lives, we feel that, but why don't I always do that? And do I not do it enough? We live here in Phoenix. You know, people love to come here. They love to come and visit. They keep moving here. I moved here. You know why they do that, right? They come here because they love how we're just so well known here in Phoenix for being people that are quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. People love rush hour in Phoenix, unlike everywhere else in the world. They love driving on the 51 and the 101 and the I-10 because they know it's going to be peaceful. Other car drivers are going to wave and say hello and let you in. They never cut you off because people are so slow to anger here. Every single one of you that's ever driven or ridden, you know that's not true. We're not known for that, but neither, I don't think, any culture is. I don't know any culture that's particularly known for being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. And as much as we want to be at rush hour, when you're running late, you find that anger dwelling, just rising up in your heart. And you think, why? That's not what I want to do. We live in a world also that doesn't recognize that every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so there is a great lack of thankfulness, and that influences us, just like the anger and the slow being slow to speak and quick and slow to listen and quick to anger. All that influences and affects us, and even though we don't want it, we're surrounded by it and we're affected by it, and we sometimes give in to it. And we know that we don't always perfectly love the Lord our God with all our hearts, mind, and soul. Or our neighbors. We don't always care perfectly, though we want to so much. Why not? In the Deuteronomy passage we saw today over and over again, remember what the Lord has done. Don't forget. Remember, remember. And that's not just in the Deuteronomy passage. That is throughout the Old Testament over and over again. And the New Testament, even in the James passage, says don't be like that person that goes and looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looked like, what kind of person he was. Remember the Lord. Remember his faithfulness. Remember all that he has done for you, every good and perfect gift. And also remember that he remembers. That's the other thing we see over and over again all throughout Scripture. And God remembered. God remembered Abraham. God remembered Noah. God remembered David. God remembered his promises, his faithfulness. And he always will. Because there is no variation or shadow of change in our God. Another thing that prevents us from perfectly sometimes being perfect doers and hearers of the word is persecution. James starts off this letter writing to those who have been dispersed by persecution. Our brothers and sisters throughout the world, throughout history, at many times have faced severe persecution. Even today, we have brothers and sisters who are facing severe persecution. And so you can imagine, James doesn't tell us exactly why these Christians that he's writing to are not doing. Some of them are not doing. But that may be a very possible reason why James is writing this, at least one. Maybe some of these brothers and sisters were scared that if I am doing too much of what I hear, what I know God would have me do, then I might be persecuted. The world might hate me. Thankfully, in our culture, we don't experience that too much, but we all know that especially even younger people more and more are facing social pressures, and it, more and more temptation might rise to not be so much of a doer of the word. Hearing might be safer. But our Lord calls us to be doers and not just hearers of the word. And lastly, sometimes when we think about all the need in the world, all that's going on, we are more bombarded with all the needs of this world than anybody else throughout history has ever been. We know all over the world. So many needs, and we know there are even needs that we don't know. We could go and find more, but we already have so much, we just start to feel overwhelmed and numb, and we start to throw our hands up and say, Lord, what can I do? I'm just one person. I don't have that much money. I don't have that much time. I don't know who to help. I don't know how to help. If I give money to these people, they might misuse it. What do I do, Lord? There are two things that we need to remember in that situation. One is in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. We must remember that we have a generous God who is ready to give us wisdom when we don't know what to do. And we need to remember that James is writing to the church, to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Another good and perfect gift that we have is every brother and sister in Christ, the church, the body of Christ. We have a whole body of Christ throughout the world and throughout history who is working together to care for the needy and to help us care for the needy, to love our neighbor. Do you not know what to do? Even right here in our parish, we have people that are working and doing a great job with refugees, with the Anglican Relief and Development Fund, with our Caritas ministry that helps right here in this parish. And if you need to go further than that, there's a whole, beyond just this church, there's a whole body of Christ throughout the world. And there are so many ways. And you just have to pray, ask for wisdom, and the body of Christ will help you if you're not sure how to help in times of need. But let's come back to that question. When our hearts are convicted and we say, oh, I don't know if I'm doing these things. I don't know if I'm giving enough thanks for all these good and perfect gifts that God has given me. I don't know if I'm really being great at being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. And sometimes I don't know if I'm loving the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. What if I'm falling short on that? What if I'm not loving my neighbor, not caring for the needy as much? There are two voices that we have speaking into our hearts, into our minds. Scripture tells us this. One of those voices is our enemy, Satan, the accuser who would condemn us. The condemner looks at us and says, of course you haven't done enough. Of course you haven't gotten out of the pews, and you never will. You have no hope. You're not a doer. You're not even a hearer. You're pathetic. That is our enemy. Run from that voice and run to the one who is called counselor and encourager, comforter, who convicts and disciplines with love and truth and tells you, you have the word of God implanted into your heart and into your mind. The reason you want to do is because you are a Christian. I am working on your heart and your mind. I am the one who will sanctify you. I am the one who will glorify you. You will be made a perfect doer and hearer. Trust in me, who loves you, who is your perfect Father in heaven. And remember that there's only one person who has ever perfectly kept this perfect word, this perfect law, lived that perfect life in fulfillment of the law. Completely fulfilled it, this good and perfect law. And then after he fulfilled it, he went to the cross and he fulfilled it again by dying for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins. James knows who this perfect, loving Heavenly Father is, this Father of lights who doesn't change. James knows that all who are in Christ are no longer condemned. Just as Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you believed in Christ? You are set free from the law of sin and death. What other gift could you ask for? You've been given this gift, and because of that, even the hearing, which is a good thing, by the way, James doesn't despise hearing. He says, just don't be a hearer only. that hearing is a gift. And that doing that the Spirit of God stirs up in your heart, that also is a gift. And because we've been given this great gift of forgiveness, of no condemnation in Christ, of the Comforter working in our hearts and telling us when the accuser, when the condemner is lying against us and reminding us whose we are, reminding us of God's faithfulness, of His goodness, of His perfect gifts, of His unchanging character and way, we have this perfect gift and enables us to, with joy, hear and do the Word of God and to give thanks to Him for all of these good and perfect gifts. Thanks be to God.